It's a moment I'll never forget, hearing it for the first time. It was the fall of 2012. I was out for a sophisticated night on the town, when its beautiful harmonies and rhythmic nuances filled the concert hall and echoed through my ears. The song was Die Young by Kesha, and my musical life would never be the same. Okay, I'm just gonna interrupt you right there. Yeah, just stop the music. A sophisticated night of the town? Are you sure you don't mean listening to Spotify in your tiny apartment? Well, I don't know about tiny, but... Also, musical life never be the same? This is Kesha we're talking about. Shouldn't you have been studying the art of fugue or something? Okay, the story may have been fabricated, but I do like the song. So you're telling me you listen to lowbrow pop music? And call yourself a serious musician. Listen, just because something's popular doesn't mean it's not good quality. Look at the Beatles.
Yeah, and look at Miley Cyrus.
Pop music isn't about the music. It's just this weird glamour contest.
I get what you're saying.
But really, the same thing, unfortunately, is true in the classical music world. It's much more subtle and they're really just going for a different type of image. And you know, there wasn't always this clear division between popular and classical. That's really this modern invention. I mean, all these serious composers, so-called, they used to incorporate plenty of pop elements into their music.
Example.
Okay, take the Goldberg Variations by Bach. Have you heard of it?
Don't patronize me.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, the last variation is this mashup of all these popular street songs from Bach's day. One of them is about root vegetables and cabbage.
Pop lyrics haven't changed a bit, I see.
Indeed. Mozart wrote this whole piano piece based on this French melody you may know better as Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, which I guess was considered popular back then.
What's your point, then?
My point is, if you're searching for music that's pure, music that's good, music that's really about the music, you can't just easily divide things up based on these surface genres like classical, pop, folk, bluegrass, hip-hop, or whatever.
Or country?
No, country's just terrible.
But are you really going to put Kesha in this pure and good category? I mean, you are aware that she spells her name with a dollar sign, right?
Well, like I said, I do like the song. But it also inspired a different, how do I put this? Well, a more pure piece of music.
So what you're saying is you wrote a piece and you're going to tell us all about it.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Pretty self-serving, don't you think?
Well, it's a good piece and it's my podcast too. But we'll also learn more about this pop classical intersection. We'll hear cameo appearances from Madonna and Shakira.
Wow, you talked to Madonna?
Not literally. I mean, like, you know, lifted from YouTube.
Is that legal?
Yeah, in this case, it qualifies as fair use.
Okay, what about quoting Kesha in your own piece?
That might be a more subtle question, but we won't deal with that today.
Got it. Last question, are you performing this piece of yours anytime soon?
So glad you asked. As a matter of fact, I am. Coming up September 20th. At 6 p.m. at the Kennedy Center Millennium Stage.
I'll try to be there.
I should hope so. Let's get to it then.
I can't believe you like this song.
I don't like it. I love it.
Okay, Kesha Creepy.
But seriously, I like it.
Whatever. This piece of yours better be good.
It is.
You've lost all authority.
Don't judge. So Kesha's not for everyone, and I get that. But I am going to defend this song because I think it has a nice, dark, nostalgic character and some cool harmonies and dissonances. And by some, I mean like three because it's pretty repetitive. Let me just play you the beginning of it again, this time on the piano. Like that one. Now, like I said, it is quite repetitive. There's this five-note bass line that runs actually pretty much through the entire song.
Mm-hmm. This makes it very similar, in fact, to this traditional form that is called either a passacaglia or a chaconne, if you want a fancy name for it. Can we get a Bach chaconne going for everyone? Oh, wait. I don't have a sound guy. Anyway, in this movement, you hear this steady 10-note bass line throughout the movement. Although it does shift around to other keys, very similar to the Kesha, you'll get the point. Right, so that was the beginning of a very non-famous Bach chaconne from one of his very first cantatas, Cantata 150. More famous examples would be the violin chaconne in D minor, the last movement of the violin sonata, and, of course, the Goldberg variations. Don't get me wrong, those pieces are significantly more complex and intricate, especially when compared to the cantata you just heard the beginning of, but especially compared to the Kesha song. My piece, on the other hand, is not a chaconne, but instead borrows from the Kesha two snippets from that initial melody you heard at the beginning of the song that I played. You'll hear the melody in three separate chunks at the beginning, the middle, and the end of the piece, and every time you hear a new variation on the melody, either a rhythmic change or a character modal change, so that each time it preserves some recognizable core, but is still something new and different. And I think that's really one of the keys to what makes this music compelling. So the two little snippets I'm talking about, I feel your heartbeat to the beat of the drum. And then let's make the most of the night like we're gonna die young. So you get it at the beginning of the piece in this dreamy character. Middle, you'll get these snippets and fragments that are alternating between more agitated, almost angry. And now in the left hand, a little happier. Angry again. Again. And now like a little ray of sunshine. And then finally, at the very end of the piece, after this long build-up to a climax, you'll hear the melody one last time in its original harmonization, but utilizing the full range of the piano and its possibility for maximizing the effect of this climactic moment. So it'll be jumping around. So all together with both hands. So it's pretty cool. And now the latter two thirds of this piece is a fugue. I hope you know or remember what a fugue is. If you don't, I have tons of episodes about them. And the subject of this fugue is really the backbone of this whole piece, the main theme, and as you might expect, it is another variation from the Kesha melody. From I Hear Your Heartbeat, we get and like in many of the episodes where I've talked about Bach's fugues, there's lots of cool rockin' stuff happening with this fugue subject. You'll hear it not only the way you just heard it, but also flipped upside down here in the melody. Even fancier, perhaps more awesome, some places where we hear it at half speed in one voice and at the same time normal speed in another voice. So you'll hear it here. That's normal, but at the same time. So together. And then they switch. There's all these great combinations of half speed, full speed, right side up, upside down, canons. It's just a feast of Kesha counterpoint. It is tricky to find examples of these techniques in pop music. I did think of one where we have, at the same time, this melody in the foreground while its half speed counterpart is going on at the same time in the background. I know what you're thinking. The answer is yes. It is also Kesha. As you can tell, I listened to way more Kesha than you were expecting. That was from her song, Steven. So soulful. I hope you caught the main melody. Steven, why won't you call me? Along with, in the background. She's just full of tricks. Maybe that example is a bit of a stretch. But when the opportunity arose to insert the song Steven into my podcast, I couldn't resist. Another Kesha classic. Now, I know you're probably getting antsy and wondering where the Shakira and the Madonna are. So don't worry, they're coming. This piece has quite a few of what we might call the Shakira sequence, better known, perhaps, in music theory as a descending fifth sequence. Can we cue up the Shakira? God, I have to do it again.
Ladies up in here tonight, no fighting.
We got the refugees.
No fighting.
Over here.
No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
Behind all that noise and speaking, I don't really know what's going on there, but the musical part was like this. And then repeat a step lower. And this sequence only has two iterations. Breaks there. So in my piece, you'll get a bunch of those, often with this scale figure. Repeat. Repeat. So that song, not really my favorite pop song, but the first one that popped into my mind with this descending fifth sequence. But you know, it is an awesome pop song.
Life is a mystery.
I'm sorry, got a little cut up there. That, of course, is the beginning of Like a Prayer by Madonna. Immaculate Collection version, in case you were wondering, not the original album. And it features one of the most prominent deceptive cadences I can think of, or at least I thought of just now, in all of pop music. What do I mean by that? Let's hear the beginning on piano again so I can explain. At this point, the end of the phrase could have been, which would have been a nice expected ending. It's called a deceptive cadence because instead of that, we get something unexpected. It deceives us. And then it goes on from there. So deceptive cadence is this generic term for when the music sets up our expectations for this nice, tidy phrase ending, but instead we get this new harmony that either extends that phrase or takes us off in a different direction. This is a common play in classical music. Let's hear one of my favorite examples. It's slow and about a minute long, but I can't apologize for its length because it is absolutely divine. It's the same harmonic setup, actually, as the Madonna that you just heard. The key moment comes on this trill, which we expect to resolve here to end that phrase and end the entire movement in this case. But instead, the music takes a dark, sad turn. A giant question mark. And then it goes on. And then finally we come to that harmony that we were seeking before, to bring us to the end, to rest. Here it is. That is the end of the slow movement of Mozart's Clarinet Concerto. Also a fantastic performance with Charles Neidich on clarinet with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. So why am I talking about this? Well, this happens in the piece you're about to hear as well. You already heard one of these, in fact, quite prominently here. There's the dark harmonic extension of what could have been. A nice definitive ending. There's also a different type of one toward the beginning. Which we expect to end like that, but instead something totally new. From here, a nice change of color there, don't you think? So perhaps pop and classical have more in common than you thought, but they're still pretty different. You be the judge. Let's listen and enjoy this full piece now. Inspired, let's not forget, by Kesha. But also by, like, Bach and stuff. There's a lot of Bach influence in there. Thank you. That was fun. And might I add, extremely difficult. Just remember, dear listeners, that sometimes you can find compelling music, perhaps in places that you might not expect to find it. And sadly, the vice versa is true as well. Is that a phrase? The vice versa? I mean, well, you know what I mean. Just don't let authority and prestige guide you. Sometimes they can easily lead you astray. One place you can definitely find good music, of course, is the Music Post website, www.samueljpost.com/podcast. And if you have any burning thoughts, you can always let me know, samueljpost@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join me next time on the Music Post.